Welcome to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. My name's Alyssa and I'm joined today by both co-hosts, Father Rob and Georgia. Hey guys, how are you?
Hey.
Hello.
We're here in the flesh.
This has never happened before.
We're in the same room.
You're much shorter than I imagined you. No, I'm joking. I've seen you before.
Oh, I love it. Is great to be here. And we've got a very special episode planned for our listeners today. But firstly, we're all out of lockdown. That's why we get to be here today.
Which is it's not normal for many people. Like Europe is back in lockdown. The United States is in lockdown while we have the freedom that America had and Europe had over the summer because we're heading into the summer.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's been so different lately. Everyone's been saying it's gone from being pretty chilled in lockdown to busy. Everyone's been feeling busier.
Yeah.
I feel like it's getting busy too quick. Yeah. It's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you pace yourself, eh? Like I'm really holding the reins back. I'm saying no to a lot of things that are...
Teach us how to do that, well, please.
Yeah. I think it's just I know maybe right now I'm clearer about what I want. And so the things that don't align with that with which I'm planning to go ahead with, I'm just refusing at the moment.
Yeah.
Let's see how long I can survive.
I'm really glad that you've agreed to do the podcast with us.
that
we must
aligns.
Align with what you want. That's awesome.
Absolutely. That's a very clear alignment there. Okay.
So what are we doing today?
Well, we have had a lot of some listeners asking us to kind of, you know, fill in some gaps. You know, we've been talking all the way through lockdown about, you know, the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been, you know, kind of talking about some pretty chewy topics. And there's been a few listeners that wanted to kind of go back to basics, you know, who is Jesus? What did he do when he was on this earth, you know?
Yeah, and we also kind of wanted to do something for our listeners that maybe want to introduce somebody new to the faith, like where would you send them? And hopefully this is the podcast for that. We're going to kind of call it Catholicism 101.
Yes, that's a good idea. So it's about helping people understand, you know, especially we've had quite a few listeners who have made the greatest effort to listen to us. Maybe a lot of them are your friends.
Thanks, guys.
All our friends.
Your friends and fans. But some of them, I can imagine, I don't know, but I imagine would be a bit lost because the podcast is really, even though it is simple, but it requires a bit of understanding. And this is, again, the 101 where we hopefully can fill a few of those gaps as well. Let's hope we don't get a bit too complicated.
Yeah, next minute.
We'll try not to be.
We're talking about transubstantiation.
For another podcast. But we kind of thought we would start, we talk a lot about Jesus on this podcast.
Yes.
So who was Jesus? And I guess we can put it simply this way. You know, he was a man that walked the earth, born in Bethlehem in the Middle East between the years of 7 BC to 1 BC. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus attracted a lot of attention because he was a preacher and he was a healer and he had a lot of radical teachings, which then led to him being crucified, and then he rose again from the dead 3 days later.
That's right. He claimed to be the Messiah, which they were all waiting for, which was quite common at the time. Many people actually claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus wasn't unique in that way. But now we know in hindsight, especially as Christians, that he was right. Mm-hmm. He was right for a number of reasons, which we'll talk about. But he was also fully human, fully divine, this extraordinary person that lived, that inspired, that changed lives and changed history. Mm-hmm. Especially as, I'm scared I'm going to get really complicated. Look at me, give me a look
let's step it back. Did Jesus really exist?
Yeah, was he fictional or was he real? You know, that was one of the questions, you know. And this is interesting, you know, so many historians, Christian and non-Christian, believe that Jesus absolutely exists, and there's different evidence, you know.
The historical Jesus, that he did exist in history. And there were a lot of historians and reliable historians. For example, Josephus was one of the main greatest historians, which we use not for in a Christian context, in a historical context. He lived about 80 to 100 AD, and he's talked about different events, things that happened, and he often would mention the crucifixion. And in the parts where he mentions the crucifixion, he actually mentions Jesus. He mentions Jesus and his followers, that he was unrightly crucified and that he had many followers, that he claimed to be the Christ. So we know that he's not like Hercules. He's not like Peter Pan. He's not a fictional character, but he actually existed. It wasn't only Josephus, but it was many other historians as well who claimed that Jesus existed in history.
Yeah, awesome.
He was a man that walked this earth.
Definitely. And, you know, you said, Father Rob, before we reined you back, you said who Jesus claimed to be. You know, he claimed to be this long-awaited Messiah. Yeah. And so the Jews during those years, like they were promised by God that they were the chosen people and they were awaiting this Messiah for thousands and thousands of years. And even before that, you know, there were prophets who were sent by God to, like, you know, tell the Jews, warn the Jews to, like, change your ways because the Messiah is coming. And, you know, Jesus finally came to the earth and he claimed to be this Messiah, but he wasn't the Messiah that they were expecting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
He made waves.
He made waves. Yeah, that's right. He was a surfer dude.
He surfed.
And you know, the other thing to point out too is that because these Jews were waiting for this Messiah for so long, mm-hmm. so many people had kind of claimed that they were the Messiah. And so yeah. it's kind of like that boy who cried wolf.
Situation. Here we go again. Yeah.
But, you know, like, exactly.
But like, why was Jesus different? And Jesus was different because of the signs that he performed. Mm. And he also wasn't the Messiah that the Jews were expecting. They were expecting this person, this
militant guy.
Mm.
This army guy. Because the Jews were under a lot of oppression. Mm. They were the chosen people, but and then first the Egyptians captured them and they went free. And now all of a sudden they're under the oppression of the Romans. And so they're waiting for the second Moses to come to set my people free. And it was to be prophesied to be the Messiah. And so they're waiting, and it was the time they were waiting. They were waiting in that era, in that period, for the coming of the Messiah. And so, as you can imagine, as you just said, many claim to be the Messiah. But all of a sudden, this guy comes, this peaceful, this peacemaker, this sort of almost for son, this hippie sort of peace dude comes forward, and which he wasn't. Like, he was quite, I'd be afraid of, he overthrew tables, and he wasn't just the peacemaker sometimes we make him out to be. But he comes and he doesn't start a war as they expected him to start a war. But he starts to talk about peace and love and forgiveness and about not looking at this world. And it's not about the oppression of this world, but it's the oppression of sin. And they're thinking, wait, hold on. This is not what we want. Just help us get rid of the Romans. Do what you were sent to do. And then come and save your people. But Jesus was very countercultural, very different to what they were expecting. Mm. So, yeah, and all of a sudden, so it was very hard to believe. If I was a Jew, I'd find it really hard to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, because he didn't fill the interpretation, the general interpretation of what the Messiah was supposed to come and do. But if you look in hindsight and you look at the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, Jesus fits in the prophecies of the Old and the New so perfectly, from the prophets Jeremiah to all of a sudden you come to the Isaiah and all the minor prophets, and then everything that Jesus, even from his life, death, and eventual resurrection, was prophesied. And I can imagine the Jews after the resurrection thinking,
realizing,
oh my goodness,
yes,
he was right in front of us. And we have a case of that in the scripture when the veil was torn in two and the soldier says, truly, this was a man of God. Mm. Like, poof, mind blown.
Just so crazy. Amazing. I know in my own life, like I didn't know all the different prophecies, but the more prophecies that I find out that Jesus actually fulfilled, it just blows my mind.
Yes. And this is how the apostles used to convert the Jews, by taking the Old Testament and saying, look, he fulfilled this prophecy and this prophecy and this prophecy and this one and this one and this one and this one. And that is how they'd come to the understanding of Jesus being the Messiah. And it was the signs, yes, that converted many people, but many of the Jews weren't converted by the signs, but by the fulfillment of the prophecies.
Yeah.
By his actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And you said as well, so Jesus was eventually crucified and then rose again. And so this resurrection is really the basis of our faith. And it's because of the resurrection that Jesus is still alive today and we can have a relationship with him.
Yes. And the resurrection is everything. Okay. The greatest of the signs that Jesus performed was the resurrection. If the resurrection didn't happen,
it's all over.
Yeah, I've been living a lie. So my whole faith is dependent on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah. And also that was historically documented by Christians and non-Christians, the events of these things happening. They didn't understand it, but it has an eternal ramification. It has an eternal effect on the fact. It changes everything. And we might talk about that later. But again, I don't want to get complicated. I'm looking at you like thinking, where is this going?
No, but like just back to that, we can have a relationship with Jesus. But there is a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus
in history.
Knowing Jesus personally.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, like, you know, what a couple of people were saying to us, you know, how do we link these stories, these scriptures, these actions of Jesus to today?
Yes. And I think this is, again, going back to that's the resurrection. You see, you can only know about someone if they didn't rise from the dead. You can only know about them if they're dead. You know, I have friends that have died, and I knew them personally while they were living, but the people who didn't know him, like my friend Chris, who didn't know Chris in his lifetime, there's no way they can know about him, but they can never know him because he died.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With Jesus, it's different.
That's right.
Because he's alive, people can get to know him today.
Right now.
Now, this is a crazy claim for a Christian. For those of you who are listening who are trying to understand the Christian faith, that is where we are crazy.
Yeah. Happily crazy.
Happily crazy.
So how did you get crazy, Georgia?
Oh, me? Oh, you want to? Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a good thing. You know, I think it's, you know, talking about relating scripture to your life and, you know, to make it relevant, you know, right now. For me, you know, when I was young, my mum and dad, you know, were Catholic and they baptized me Catholic. But at that stage, they weren't practicing. Sorry, mum and dad, it's out. But, you know, in that reality, you know, when I went to school, you know, I remember when the priest first did the sign of the cross when I was in grade 3 and I was embarrassed because I was like looking at my friends like, what are you doing? And they're like, don't you know this, you know? And so from that kind of thing that happened to me when I was so young, you know, it was hard for me to relate these traditions, this, you know, these scriptures, because I wasn't actually real in my life. So I would go home and it wasn't real, you know. So when my year 9 teacher at school was talking about Jesus and reading the Bible, you know, I sort of started mucking around because I didn't understand it. There was no reality in my life, you know. And I was thinking about this the other day. It was my year 11 teacher that came to school and she took us out to the soup kitchens and she took us to St. Kilda and we're, you know, feeding the poor and, you know, she was relating these scripture stories to that very day. And I said to her, you know, why do you want to feed the poor? Like, obviously, you know, you want to help. But she said, because when Jesus showed us when he was here what he wanted us to do. You know, he loves us so much and we can't forget about the poor. And, you know, we went to there was a home for people that had been struggling with alcoholism and, you know, these people were very sick and they could get very grumpy and she was so kind to them. And so I watched that kindness that she gave to them and then she took me to church and sort of showed me Bible passages that related to this mission that she was on, you know. And I remember when I was, you know, maybe 3 years later, I kind of still wasn't sinking in, but I opened my Bible for the first time when I was living in Japan. You know how you get the free Bibles in the hotel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to check it out. Yeah. Right. And I read the Psalms. And the Psalms for me, it was like talking about, you know, you feel alone. I can't remember which Psalm it was, but it was talking about feeling alone, not feeling like God was there, but God was there. And that really resonated with me. And I think for me, you know, I'm still, the scripture's still coming alive for me every day. But for me, it was that click moment that I had seeing someone living the gospel now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you can read the gospel, but I saw this lady helping the poor. I saw her caring about me. I saw the kindness she gave. And even though I had this wonderful family, they, for me, I wasn't seeing that lived in action, but I saw that and now they live it in action beautifully, my parents. But, you know, at that stage I needed to see the gospel live in action. So in my life, that's what helped me know Jesus. You know what I mean? Like I saw someone else following Jesus, which helped me want to seek Jesus more. But it was until I had that time alone with Jesus in the hotel room reading the Bible that I had that click moment. So I think it's like anything. If you want to get fitter, you go to the gym. If you want to know more about God, it's the seeking. Like you have to seek Jesus to know more about him. There's sort of no other way really, is there?
Mm. Yeah. I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that I thought you were cradle Catholic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought you were born a Catholic.
No. So, well, now mum is, you know, my mum.
Because I know your mum is very devout.
She's like undercover nun, you know what I mean? Like she's very strong now. And my dad, you know.
Hi, Jane, if you're listening.
My mum. And she's amazing. And now she does so much work with, like, you know, women that are in pregnancy crisis and everything. And dad is obviously got a really strong faith. But that's back amazing. Then they didn't. Yeah.
So this is the thing. Yeah, it's about encounter. Having that encounter with the risen Christ, knowing – it's not only knowing about Jesus, but I think one of the greatest ways we can as Christians encounter the love of God is through seeing the love of God in others.
Yeah.
It's like your teacher, you know, like you saw what she had and you wanted what she had.
Yes.
I love this point, you know, faith, it can't really be taught. It's something that needs to be caught.
Yes.
Ah, that's
good. Contagious. It's like a disease. It's like COVID-19.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We can't mention that.
Yes. You know, I want to say one quick thing. I don't know why it just quickly came to me, but my year 9 teacher that was teaching us about Jesus, she was teaching us great things, but there wasn't a love connection. Whereas my year 11 teacher was like, Jesus loves you, Georgia. Like, you know, let's help the poor. Like, because she really knew that God loved her. That was the difference.
Yes. Such a difference.
Sorry, year 9 teacher. God loves you.
But how different would that be if she were to tell you, oh, Frankie loves you. Oh, Harry loves you so much. What's the difference between the teacher telling you that Harry loves you so much and Jesus loves you so much?
It's a hard one.
I think the major difference is that you can get to know Jesus. You can get to love Jesus.
Yes.
That Harry is not just a person who lives in history, but a person who's alive and someone who can change our lives. So again, it's the opportunity for us ourselves to know Jesus personally. Because just to say that Jesus loves you means nothing if you don't have the opportunity to relate to him yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where it all begins. That's why. And I'm so grateful that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's because of that, that we can have this relationship with him.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Awesome.
So cool.
Amazing.
Amazing, mate.
Amazing. That's your
design. Amazing.
That's good.
So we spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about the Bible. And so how does the Bible help us to, I guess, get to know Jesus better?
Yeah. You see, this is, again, it's knowing about the person in order to know the person. I wrote a song many years ago.
You know, that was the first song I ever heard you sing.
Yes, and probably was the very first song.
Years ago.
It's called, the song is called To the Ends of the Earth. And there's a verse, there's a bridge or a middle eight that goes, to know you is to love you. To love you is to serve you. And so
and it repeats and it's beautiful.
The chords are nice in the background as well. But what it's saying, exactly. But what it's saying is that the more you get to know God, the more you fall in love with God. Mm-hmm. And so you cannot really fall in love with someone you don't know. So we need to know God. We need to know about God in order to love God.
That's right. And I think kind of once you have that encounter, it's like you want to know more. Again, like that faith is caught. And so it's like, why is this person so joyful all the time? I want what this person has.
Yes.
And then once you kind of have that moment, it's like you're given these new eyes to see.
Mm, it opens, it changes the way you look at life really, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like if you think about, I think about the way I looked at life before I knew Jesus and after, it's very different. The way you look at people, the way you look at nature, everything, it changes.
And I think this is one of the things, like if you fell in love with someone, like you have a crush on someone, I don't know, like I imagine you'd check them out on Instagram, Facebook, you'd check LinkedIn, you'd check whatever they have, you're going to check it out. You want to know everything, the things they're telling you and the things they're not telling you.
Yeah.
So you want to know their childhood photos, you look back on photos of 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you want to know. And so this is again part of why we read the scripture, because in the scripture we get to know what Jesus did, what he said and how he said it. It's not only what we hear your teacher talk about, but this is exactly what he said and how he said it. And so we get a revelation of who God is. And the thing is, the bigger the revelation, the more in love, the more head over heels. You know, sometimes you might see a photo of someone and you're in love with, and then you think, uh-oh, I don't know about this. But with Jesus, it's never like that.
Yeah.
With Jesus, the more photos you see, the more you get to experience, the more of his words you get to understand, the more it just makes sense. It just gives peace and joy and helps us come back to this eternal joy and this eternal promise that God gives us because of the resurrection.
That's right. But yeah, I just love it. I found in my own life, like, the more that I've learnt, the more that I want to learn.
Yes.
And I just want to preface this to everyone, like, we're still learning. The three of us are always still learning, and it's just
not
so
me.
Amazing.
I know everything.
Yes, you do. I'm joking.
Guru.
No, it's just so great to share this journey and, like, share what we're learning with everyone who's listening.
Like, yeah, because every day is a revelation. You know what I mean? Like, you see God work in your life every day. If you have that faith, like, if you just step out in faith, you're like, oh, Jesus, I saw that again, you know. It's and I think that's a beautiful thing about the Bible. Like, you know, we're saying before, like, there's an authority in the Bible, isn't there? That's why we use it, like, for the podcast. There's the living word of God. There's a
It's because you. I think two things. You. One is because we, three of us, are seeking to love God, mm-hmm, and so we're interested in the life of Jesus. But also, we don't want to keep this love for ourselves. So we want to break open the word for you on a podcast and help you. This is what Jesus said. How awesome is Jesus? And this is how he said. Because the thing is, the problem with our faith is that we, and a lot of Catholics especially, a lot of Catholics live on what people tell them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If I were to ask you this question, I don't know. I'm just going to, this is crazy, okay? I'm going to trivia.
Okay.
There's a story of Paul, St. Paul, on the road to Emmaus. Now, when Paul fell, there's a part where he fell with a blinding light. How do you imagine it?
Not super. Oh, I didn't even know. He was riding a horse, wasn't he?
That's what I was going for. Oh. He was not on a horse. There's no mention of a horse.
I think I saw a cartoon about this years
ago.
Yeah,
there are paintings. Yeah. So we go on what people tell us.
Okay, so there was no horse.
There was no horse.
Sorry, everyone. Okay, I'm still learning, I told you.
I want the horse.
What fruit did Adam and Eve eat?
Apple?
No.
What did they eat?
There's no mention of
it
an apple.
Says
it's
fruit,
forbidden
doesn't it?
Fruit.
That's right.
But everyone thinks it's an apple this whole time.
And
it could have been a fig.
All that stuff about the Adam's apple. Yeah.
Yeah. So is the thing that we go, and now these are small things, but for example, how many wise men were there in the Christmas? We're coming up to Christmas.
Well, I'm not going to answer this. Georgia, you know everything.
Well, I thought there was three, but there was more.
No, there are
no. I walked straight into that.
There were three gifts, but no mention of three wise men. And so these are the things. Now, the point I'm making here is that a lot of Catholics know a lot from what we assume to be true.
Yeah.
What we think to be true. That's because we hear our Catholicism, we hear our faith from other people. And so this is why we have the Catholic Influencers podcast, because we want you to see, to hear for yourself what the Word of God says. And the thing is, we as Catholics are not equipped enough to know our faith. So we end up losing our faith. So we want to build this. We want to make you Catholic influencers by knowing the Jesus that we are seeking to know.
And the Bible points to those, you know, essential truths, doesn't it? Like, you know, the essential truths.
Yeah. About, who we are.
Yeah.
It's funny you say, like, we don't really know our faith. And that, I guess that was me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Alyssa, like, you know, because,
how am I crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
How have you made a distinction, have you made the link between faith, like this faith in God and, you know, it being a reality in your life?
Yeah. So I guess the way that I grew up in an Italian Catholic family, like Catholic, I guess, on paper. I did all my sacraments. I went to Catholic primary school, secondary school. But you know, it was just a cultural thing. We went to church maybe Christmas and Easter. I would say, you know, my family still, they would say they believe in God if you spoke to them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really something that was lived and breathed. Like, it wasn't every part of them. And I don't know what happened to me. Like, I think I went to school, always loved learning about it at school, like learning about knowing about Jesus, but not really knowing Jesus. I just knew something drew me towards it.
Yes.
And I never really had this like lightning bolt moment of like God revealing himself to me. It was always like these really slow little mini conversions along the way. I always thought, you know, there was something wrong with me because I'd listen to people give these testimony stories and they'd had this big moment and I was like, God, like why? I'm open. I'm here. Like why are you not like lightning bolt me like I'm like Paul, you know?
Yes.
Without a horse.
That's right, without a horse. And it never really happened, but I still just knew deep inside me, like I came back from one of these, a big Catholic event, and I knew that I wanted to take it a whole lot more seriously than I was. And my job like allowed me to go to church daily, so I got to go to Mass daily. And it's so funny, like we're talking about the Bible here, and my husband doesn't share my faith, and we'd often get into arguments, and he would say, like our faith arguments, and he would say, "You don't even know your Bible." Like, and you know what? He was kind of right. Like, I would always argue and say, "Hey, I go to Mass every day. Like, the Bible is read to me. Like,
yeah,
I do know it." But I actually didn't. And he was so right. And it wasn't until, you know, even the last couple of years, like, yeah, I had this wonderful opportunity to travel to the Holy Land.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Best experience of my life. And I got to see the places where Jesus walked, yeah, and talked. Wow. And the Gospels just came alive for me in a way that they had never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me want to read more. And I guess, again, this podcast.
Because you went to the places where Jesus, like,
I went.
Tell people that haven't been there or know about it. Like, gosh.
I'll talk about like one particular day. It was a Thursday, and we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is where Jesus prayed before he was arrested. And
oh, wow,
we had a beautiful Mass overlooking like the whole of Jerusalem. Like, it's just the most fantastic scenery. I just felt God's presence there, and oh, that entire day we just walked there. Where Jesus walked before on his way to the crucifixion, I got to see the place he was crucified, see the place where he was laid to rest, like just the whole, where he performed all these miracles.
Via Crucis.
Yes, everywhere. Just, I mean, if anyone's listening, when you're allowed to travel to the Holy Land, please
go.
Like,
FRG Ministry are organizing a pilgrimage hopefully next year, so we'll keep you updated. Yes, so we'll be going.
That's news to us.
A hint, yes. We'll be going down. I'd love to journey.
Perhaps the Catholic Influencers podcast hosts can
join in as part
join
of
in and be like, we can have
we'll be the tour
we
guide.
Can have daily podcasts.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. We can explain the scriptures to
oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing how it just come to life for you being where Jesus walked. Oh, it's insane.
Just absolutely life-changing. And again, this podcast, again, it's just like I say, I'm always learning. Like, I just feel like God is giving me these moments where I get to go deeper and, yeah, just
how amazing. Yeah. This encounter with God, it gives you, has given you this thirst to know God more. And it's like this thirst cannot be satiated. It cannot be satisfied because you just want to know more. I want to know more. Mm. Like, you sort of, you've just read the Bible. Why do you need to go to Jerusalem? If I'm going for a holiday, I'm going to go to, I don't know, the beach somewhere. But no, I want to go where the love of my life at least is.
And I, you know, I went on this trip, I said to my family, just let me get this out of my system. Like, let me just go once. Like,
yeah,
one time. And then I got there and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I can't just come here one time. Like, yeah, how am I going to get my family to let me go again?
That's what happened to my brother.
FRG Ministry, that's all.
Sorry, family, if you're all listening, it's going to happen again. Like,
and you're coming with us.
My brother went and he came back. His faith was a lot more, I don't know, it was made a lot more real for him.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. And that's what the scripture does for us when we understand it. And that's what the Jerusalem does for us when we understand it. We understand what Jesus was talking about. And again, this is a word we use often in the podcast. We use the historical critical method. And that is exactly it. It's understanding the context of the criticizing, expanding the gospel in the context of the way people at the time, in that space, in that culture, understood it. And that allows us to understand the person of Jesus, who is not limited by space, time, and culture. But if we know his heart and the way, the context he explained it, it can make perfect sense and beautiful sense for our life today. And so this is why, again, this is such importance. It's such a deep importance. The tradition of the scripture, the tradition of the life of Jesus, the tradition of the teachings of the church that draw us to know, to love, and to serve Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, so many times it's written in the Bible that, you know, Jesus doesn't want one lost lamb to be lost, like one person to be lost. His love is for every single person. There's not one person that he didn't stretch his arms out for, you know. And I think that when you really see that in the Bible, you know, he cares about everyone.
What's
the scripture about the hairs on your head? He can't, you know.
Matthew 25.
Yeah.
He does. He knows and he wants us to know
everyone.
Him. But also there's a responsibility as Christians, as Catholics, for us to know the word of God. It's not enough to know him.
Yes.
Like it's not enough to wake up in the morning and to speak to Jesus and to pray. And it's not enough to go to Mass every day, even though this is the source and summit of our faith.
Mm.
But we need to know Jesus more, seek him, study, get to know his word, his heart for us, the context of which he was saying. And this is, Alyssa, what you were just saying, going to Mass, yes. But it doesn't mean you know the reason for your faith.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you know.
You've hit it right on the head. That was exactly my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this is great that you get to know Jesus. That's the most important thing. And this is something we often say at the end of the day. It's not what you know. It's not how many Bible verses you can quote. It's not how much historical critical method you know. It's not who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know that's going to get you to heaven. So let's clarify that.
Yeah.
Mm. But you get to know the person of Jesus truly who he is, not the way you think he is, not the way others interpret him to be, but get to know him yourself. Get to know about him yourself.
Mm.
Open your Bible. Subscribe to the Catholic Influencers podcast. Mm. Let us study with you through the season 5 that it will come up soon. Let's talk about quickly as we begin to conclude. Let's talk a little bit about Christianity and Catholicism, okay?
There's been people that have asked that, you know, what is the difference between...
Are we Christians?
Are Catholics Christians?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course we are.
You said no and yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, I said oh.
I thought you said no. I'm like, and I was like, hang on. Am I missing something?
Of course, this is the we are Christians because we follow Jesus. People who say that they're Christians, okay, it can so easily be a cafeteria Christianity. And I don't want to offend anyone, but I want to speak the truth as well.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the biggest things about the Catholic Church is that the power of the Catholic Church is not a church that tells us what to believe only, but what not to believe. It doesn't only tell us when we're right, but it tells us when we're wrong.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the biggest things of, that's why there are thousands of different Christian groups and Christian authorities, so to speak, because when they disagree with some part, it's not their taste, they go to another cafeteria where that provides for what they need. And so we go from church and church hopping to a place we mold Jesus into the Jesus we want Jesus to be.
Yeah.
When the Catholic Church has stayed still, it's made for thousands of years, people so uncomfortable because it has stayed true to the tradition. It has stayed true to who Jesus says he is in the scripture, but also tradition. Let's talk a little bit about what tradition is.
And I guess that's what makes one of the major differences between being Catholic and another Christian denomination is that we don't believe in sola scriptura, which is like scripture only.
Yeah.
We believe in tradition also because like throughout history, there's been so many times where in the Bible there isn't – like Jesus didn't preach on particular topics. So it's like we come to this incident, I guess, in history and it's like, what do we do? Jesus didn't teach about this.
Yeah.
An example of this is we spoke a little bit before about how Jesus was – you know, we believe him to be fully God and fully human.
Yes.
But there was a time in history where, you know, some people were saying, oh, maybe Jesus was, you know, 90% God and 10% human or 50% God and 50% human. And so how did we establish what these teachings were?
Mm.
So the church would come together. So I know that this happened in the year 325 at the Council of Nicaea. They came together and they established that Jesus, was 100% God and 100% human, fully God, fully human.
Amazing.
Exactly. And that changes a lot as well. That influenced our theology on Mary as well.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the fact that the fact that you cannot, as the Arianism would have thought, you can separate God's divinity from his humanity, this dualism, okay? That God was sometimes human, sometimes divine. And when he was on the cross, he got rid of his divinity for a while and then he was reunited with his divinity. Mm. He was just human. So this was a heresy. But you couldn't separate the divinity from the humanity of Jesus. So, and then we come to the understanding of Mary. Well, okay, was Mary the mother of Jesus, the human? Or was Jesus the mother of God? Or was Jesus Mary the mother of God and the human? And so we know, like, Hail Mary, full of grace, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. And so we understand as Catholics as well that because his humanity and divinity cannot be separated, so this is what the church does from its traditions, from its understanding, brings about theologies. Even, for example, I think that all churches embrace, because of the Council of Trent, And that is the understanding of the Trinity. Yes, yeah. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is alluded to in the Scripture, but never in Scripture does it say that they were three in one, one in three. But all Christians believe that. So it is that came from the tradition. It's not in the Scripture, but yet we hold that to be fundamentally true and essential for our Christian belief in our creed and who we believe Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be.
Yeah, there's so much we could say about this in terms of the differences in the Catholic faith and other denominations.
So listen, just I want to clarify this, though, what tradition is. Tradition is not another book. So Scripture is a book, it's a library, we have this, but also who wrote the Scripture? It didn't come out of thin air and the Holy Spirit puffed it into being. No, what happened was that it was passed on from generation to generation and some of it was documented. And now the one part that was documented we know to be infallibly true. That there's nothing that can add to it, nothing that can be removed from it. But there's also a lot of truth that wasn't documented. And that's where we come to this understanding of tradition. And from that tradition, we can open and interpret. There are church documents. Anyway, I think I want to go complicated
here.
There's
a lot.
there's two pillars, okay? So we have the church, the Scripture, and the tradition. Part of the tradition is our understanding of the Scripture, the interpretation of the Scripture, but it's also our praxis, the way we practice our faith. For example, the sacraments.
Sacraments, you know, the Eucharist. We believe in, you know, transubstantiation. We believe that that Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus. That's, you know,
yes. Very powerful. So there's a lot of mention of the Eucharist in the Bible. That there was St. Paul and his apostles and Jesus breaking the bread. But how do we know that it was the we are using that word, transubstantiated body and blood of Christ, that it was really the real presence because of the tradition, because of the apostles that passed it down, that assumed it to be. It was so much part of tradition that they thought, I'm not going to bother writing this down. Everyone knows this to be true. But yet, later we're debating
it. People are saying, well, it's not in the Bible, but the Bible isn't the only revelation of God. You know, there's nature, there's tradition, you know.
Gosh, guys, we have covered a lot. This was really fun to be in the same room together.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
But we're going to be doing this again.
Yes.
So, this week, we will be doing a live Q&A. So the three of us, George, your father, up, myself, we're doing a live Q&A.
With a whole big crowd.
A big crowd. And that FRG. Big crowd's going to be there.
FRG partners.
FRG ministry partners.
FRG ministry partners.
So you guys, the word ministry.
Sorry. So you guys can come. We're going to give you this. If you are an FRG ministry partner, and you can do that by going to frgministry.com/donate.
And click on ongoing donations. So those ministry partners are people who will support the ministry on an ongoing basis. You can do that for $5. You can do that for, you know, our ministry depends on your generosity. We cannot do any of this without your support. So for those, in order to bless you as well for this support, we are offering you this opportunity to join us live for this recording. You'll be in this space with us here. You can ask us questions. It will be a webinar form. It's going to be like midnight for people in California.
Oh, my gosh.
So can people still become a FRG ministry partner right now?
Yes, they can.
How do they do it?
frgministry.com/donate. Click on ongoing donation.
And they can be part of this, ask questions. Any questions that you've had for Father Rob, myself, or Alyssa, you can ask them right now.
So excited to meet everybody.
Yes, and you get to be in the room with us. And we'll also have an off-recorded conversation as well, where you can talk to us and we can talk to you. And if you have any questions that you don't want to go on air, we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're just listening to this podcast, you can follow us on social media. Mm-hmm. So that's Catholic Influences_ on Instagram. You can go to facebook.com/Catholic Influences. On YouTube, we are youtube.com/FRG Ministry.
And Twitter now.
Twitter. Influences. Cath Influences.
Ooh.
I didn't expect you to mention that. It's still in baby
that's
processes.
That's very Australian. Cath Influences. Mate, why say Catholic when you can say Cath?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Australian.
Please send us your email. Send us an email. Just say hello. Say what you're loving, what you're not loving.
Ask us questions, praise reports, like blessings that you've had.
Yeah. That's it. Podcast at FIGministry.com.
And are we going to have a season 5?
Do you still want us to come back, Father Rob?
Yeah, I want it. I didn't. I was just telling that we skipped a week, just 1 week for the podcast because we finished the season 4 and I was struggling with I'm struggling with my homily this week.
We said Father Rob was struggling without Alyssa and I having studied for him during lockdown.
Yes. That's all right. We'll come back and help you with your homilies.
Thank you.
Year.
Thank you.
We're the wind beneath your wings. Did you learn? No, I'm joking.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Alyssa and Georgia for being the co-hosts. They generously give of their time, their study. It's not just the recording. It's also the hours of preparation before that. So pray for them. Bless them also in your prayers. Think of them in your prayers. And I know that God's going to bless them. I really am grateful for you both. I'm excited also for season 5. I hope we didn't scare you off.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
I was thinking of more jokes.
And we are very grateful for you, Father Rob, as well. And we encourage all the listeners to continue to pray for Father Rob, especially that he can write some good homilies in this break.
The last few have been terrible.
Well, I've had a couple of friends say that, you know, your masses have been such a blessing to them in their homes during this time.
People love it.
Jesus is good.
FRGministry.com/mass. You can join us every Sunday for a live mass.
10 a.m.
So many things going on.
I know. Okay, so I think we'll sign off here.
We'll say goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. God bless you.
God bless.